Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. As we approach this word this morning from the Old Testament, let's center our hearts and help me to pray. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. O Holy God, open to us this word as it's recorded in your scriptures, and may it find a place in our hearts. And may we live your word in the world, for we ask it in the name of your living word, Jesus the Christ, and the people of God together say, Amen. So from 2 Samuel, verses 6, 1 through 5, we're going to go backwards. We're backing up a little bit in our lectionary readings and coming back and covering some of the stories of David, King David. And next week, we're going to back up and reacquaint ourselves with this Old Testament giant, very small man in stature. But today, we pick up where he welcomes the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. So listen for the word of the Lord. The second book of Samuel, verses 6, 1 through 5. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all of the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dance is a great metaphor for the faith. At least it is for me. To dance is to say something with your body and with your soul that you cannot easily say with words. We walk the faith, we talk about our faith, but there are aspects of our faith that cannot be summarized with words. So faith is like a dance. I'd like you to try that on. Faith is like a dance. Even if you have two left feet like me. Faith is like a dance. We grow in the faith. We learn about the faith. We explore the faith. We are pilgrims on a journey. And that journey is like, it's like a dance. We worship. We serve. Faith is like a dance. When I was in junior high school, at the Hampton Yacht Club, when we would have dances for the young people who were part of the sailing teams, I didn't know how to do it, to dance. So it involved two fingers for me. Always these two fingers. And finally, Doug Miller, who's now a judge in Hampton, he says, Matt, just act like you're naked and act like you're drying off with the towel. You know, I always felt uncomfortable dancing. And at that age, Betty, I was too young for the wine, you know. So it was just, it had to be me, and it made me feel so uncomfortable. As I got older, I wished I could dance. I wished I could participate. I do have a sense of rhythm, but my sense of rhythm doesn't match yours. And my sense of rhythm doesn't match the music. And my sense of rhythm doesn't match my partner. When Rachel dances with me, she has to wear steel-toed shoes. And she has to lead. She has to lead. So I like the idea of dancing better than I am actually able to do it. But faith, nevertheless, for me, one of the great metaphors for the faith is a dance. And when I think of my faith and my own faith journey, I am able to dance. I don't feel so awkward and left-footed. Now, I don't like doing it in front of people, but my faith journey is indeed like a dance. Faith is a dance. We move in and out of our relationships. We experience up and downs. We reach out and we are reached out for, like in a dance. God is our partner in a dance. We are each other's partners in this dance together, eating together, working together, traveling together, praying for together, lamenting together. It is a dance. We reach out to include the strangers. And unlike a real dance, where the wallflowers go unpicked and shy dancers like me hover around the punch bowl, hoping not to be picked, in the dance that is our faith, we all find our way out onto the floor. This may take a leap of imagination for you, that faith is like a dance. But I think it is. We all belong in this dance. It's not embarrassing, not this dance. It's not humiliating, not this dance. We all move in the grace of God. Now, the topic of dance could devolve into 100 references to very bad country songs. This is not one of those bad country songs. It was made famous by Leanne Womack, and it was written by Mark Sanders and Tia Sillers. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Connor, try it.
One door closes, I hope one more opens.
Yeah, can you sing that? Could I hope you still feel small.
I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean.
You know that song?
Never one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And if you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
If you get a choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. So we could talk a lot about country music, about feeling sorry, about missing your girlfriend and your dog and dancing. But that's a beautiful song about dancing. And I think it symbolizes or summarizes or points to the faith. When you get a chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Faith requires us, invites us to partake, to be involved. Dervishes are Sufi mystics, a religious order of the Muslim tradition. They dance, hence the term whirling dervishes, as part of a ceremony called Sama, S-A-M-A, which is meant to lead them into a state of ecstasy. I guess spinning around and around leads you somewhere always. It's performed as a remembrance of God. UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, has named their whirling dance a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of Western humanity. Faith is like a dance for Muslims. Faith is like a dance for Christians. Faith is like a dance for Jews, for all of us. In the New Testament, when the prodigal is welcomed home, his father does what? He throws a party. He runs out to greet him. And that's like a dance, an old man running. But he throws a party. And at parties, when he killed the fatted calf and put him a robe and a ring on his finger, there was, we presume, music. And where there is music, we presume there's dancing. And Jesus' first miracle took place where? At Canaan. What was happening there? A big festival, a wedding festival, a marriage feast. There were people there. There was wine, a lot of wine, and a lot of wine was gone, which is why Jesus made more, changing the water to wine. Do you think for a second there was no song? Do you think for a second there was no dancing? At the Krannert Center, when I go to concerts, people like you and me are sitting very politely upright in our chairs, listening to the music. But if you look under the seats, their feet are moving. So even shy people are dancing. In the Old Testament, Miriam and all the women, they sing and dance when the Egyptian army is captured and thrown into the sea. Women dance at the religious festivals of Shiloh in what's known as the Dancing Meadow. You can read about that in Judges. And Jephthah's daughter meets her dad with dancing when he returns from the war against the Ammonites. There are things that we do, that we express, that can't be expressed with words, that are expressed with movement, with dance, with an uncontainable joy, with the soaring of the Spirit. Jeremiah promises to the people of Israel, they will dance the dance of merrymakers one day. You will dance the dance of merrymakers one day. And there is David, King David. He and the 30,000 men went up to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. The Ark was said to carry the Ten Commandments. It was a relic, kind of like the Holy Grail, something very important to the people of Israel. As much as we love this church and as much as we love everything in it, the church and everything in it or anything in it can't compare to the way the Israelites felt about that Ark. It was something very special to them. It was said perhaps to have the staff of Aaron, even to have manna in it, or Moses' Torah. To the ancient Israelites, the Ark reminded them that God was with them, and nothing symbolized God's presence more than that Ark. God was with them as protector. God was with them as guide. The Ark reminded them of God's presence, God's sheer holiness, God's power, God's provision. And so when David led that procession, leading that ark into Jerusalem, he danced. There were no political speeches. There was no lifting up the spoils of war. There was no singing. I mean, he didn't just do a concert. He led the procession with a dance. Good news is so good, sometimes words fail us, and sometimes only dance will do. Dance then, wherever you are. I am the Lord. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, for I am the Lord of the dance, said he. The he is Jesus, the Christ, leading us in this cosmic dance of faith. Dance is a metaphor for faith. Think about that. If you have two left feet and you do not belong on the dance floor, do you belong in the dance of faith? The answer is yes, we do. Liturgy is a dance of faith. Preaching is a dance of faith. Singing hymns is a dance of faith. Coming forward for the sacrament is a dance of faith. Gathering here in the evenings for prayer is a dance of faith. Going to the hospital, visiting those who are worried and sick is a dance of faith. Summertime always makes me think of Montreat. As you know, our eldest son is the manager of creative services at Montreat. When they were growing up, when the boys were growing up, we would take them to conferences at Montreat, and they would play with other kids and go rock hopping on Flat Creek and looking at the swans on Lake Susan. When they became old enough, they stood in their mother's footsteps and started going to what is known as the Montreat Youth Conferences. Rachel was picked up as a sophomore, junior, and senior in a Presbytery bus that wound around Texas. They made their way to Rhodes College, a Presbyterian college in Memphis, to spend the night so these Presbyterians could experience campus life, at least for one night. And then the next day, they'd drive the rest of the way down Interstate 40 to Montreat. Montreat is one of the three national conference centers in the Presbyterian Church. So these youth conferences are times when thousands of young people, five conferences every summer, about 1,000 each conference, come and they learn and they play, they dance, and every night they worship. Every morning there are keynotes. There are small group meetings with 25 or 30 of them gathered. But every night they settle in for worship. So I'd like to paint a picture for you this morning as a closing. I'd like to invite you into a story. At the end of each week of the conference, and you know, young people, sometimes faith in them bubbles. They can't contain it. And the leaders of young people are so amazed to be near that inbreaking of the Spirit. 1,000 of them gathered together for worship. Bob Tuttle would say at the beginning of the conference, "Do not beat the pews to the music. These pews are older than my grandmother." But you couldn't keep the kids from vibrating because they were learning about Jesus in a way that their boring pastors back home could not express this Jesus. In the evenings, gathered late for worship, 1,000 young people strong, and their leaders, they shuffle forward for communion. In Anderson Auditorium during the evening worship service, the preaching and the prayers are over. Twilight is giving way to dark. The cool of night is beginning to rise from trails and roads that had been melting all day in heat. Often, as they make their way forward, they sing a familiar song that has been introduced earlier in the week, a song that they now know by heart. They sing as they come forward, music swelling, voices rising.
Studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Making their way forward.
Oh, sisters, let's go
down. Coming
down
for communion.
Let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Bread awaits them up front. A holy communion, communion with God, communion with each other. A thin, thin place. Generations ago, Jesus, his healing body had been broken and redeeming blood had been shed. And now the room is awash in remembering, thanking, praying. Faith is like a song, and living the faith sometimes is like a dance.
Oh, brothers, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down.
Every year the scene is similarly played out. Disciples, young and old, walk forward through the evening service of worship from way in the back to way in the front. Some quietly weep, faces glowing. Whole youth groups from across the country hold hands in a long line of bare, braceleted arms and tanned legs. Brown people, white people, brown, white, freckled, bearded, smooth people, young men and women, some gray-headed ones, young in spirit, some in wheelchairs, some hobbling on walkers, some veritably floating above the stone aisles, some silent, but most singing.
Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
It's like a river. Every year, it's like a river. It's like a holy rising of humanity, of prayer, song. It's like an offering. It is indescribable. It is like a dance lifted by the song of our beating, beating hearts.
Oh, people, let's go down. go down, come on down. Oh, people, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
I'm not making this up. It's beautiful. It's quiet. They're singing. They're chanting. They're moaning the song. They're making their way from the way, way back to the way, way front, down the slope of that sanctuary, across those ancient stones laid in the 1900s, early in the 1900s. That massive communion table up front, it sits like a great Ark of the Covenant, a symbol of God's power, God's presence, God's grace. Every person comes, every pew empties. These children of God, like us, have been invited to join the dance, and like David, they dance with all their might.
Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Oh, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray.
To the God who invites us to the dance, to this God, be all power and glory forever. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.